This is Be the Story. This week, the anatomy of a story game. What is a story game? How does it differ from a non-story game? What's the difference between a story game and an adventure game? What are some of the concerns that come into the equation when you're writing interactive fiction and other types of story games? I'll delve into these subjects and just begin to put together our own story game so that we can see how the process works in this first part of The Anatomy of a Story Game. This week on Be the Story. Welcome to Be the Story, celebrating stories and those who tell them. This is Tim King, and over the last months, I've been talking an awful lot about novels and about movies, and occasionally about adventure games and interactive fiction and story games in general. And so I wanted to spend some more time talking about story games, since, well, that is actually a very interesting subject for me. It's one of my passions, in fact. I love the additional depth, the additional immersion that interactivity brings to a good story. But before we get to that, I wanted to go down the feed, all the different posts and comments and such that have been at BeTheStory.com, all the activity this week. On Tuesday, March 7th, how much uncertainty is too much? How many times have you started to read a story and you get, you know, a page into the novel or several paragraphs into a short story and you're wondering, what is this about? It's like the author is withholding information from you. I find that incredibly frustrating. And I talk a little bit about why I think it doesn't work to establish tension to keep the reader glued to the page. You have to tell him something that keeps him glued to the page. Also on Tuesday, I noted that Kiki Optenberg from the Kissy Bits has a great episode on creating realistic characters and using them to turn fantasy into reality. And actually on that note, I did not post, but I'll talk about it right now. The latest episode on The Writing Show. Actually, scratch that. It's the next to the last episode of The Writing Show over at writingshow.com. Paula B. interviews author Harriet Smart, who talks about writing the character-based novel. Also, she has some great comments on how to write great character-based fiction. Wednesday on BeTheStory.com, I posted a link to my story, Children and Toilets. And this was the special writing project that I was talking about before. It's special because it was the first real story that I ever wrote that has a female protagonist. And in fact, it's written in first person. And on top of that, I wrote it kind of on a whim for Mer Lafferty's crit contest over at I Should Be Writing. And I wrote it under a pseudonym. I wrote it under the name Joanna T. Knight, which is an anagram of Jonathan T. King, which Jonathan is my first name. So anyhow, I wasn't expecting to win so much as I was wanting to see how the other people critiqued my work, what Mer thought of it, and to read other entries that were entered in the contest. But in terms of the story I wrote, I posted it at my live journal, and you can actually critique it there if you'd like. And don't be afraid to be honest. On Thursday's Spotlight, I talked about the movie Because of Winn-Dixie, which I absolutely loved, and now I want to read the novel too. So you can read about that. On Friday, I talked about Ender versus Anakin, that is Orson Scott Card's character in his award-winning novel Ender's Game, and comparing Ender versus the character in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, Anakin Skywalker. Why is it that Anakin is this kind of annoying little twerp that just we want to get out of the storyline so that we can concentrate on what's really important, whereas Ender makes a convincing protagonist and a convincing character to Ender's Game. And speaking of Ender's Game, for the spotlight on Ender's Game a couple of weeks ago, Finkbug, whom I know from the Four Fat Chicks Adventure Games forum, he had some really insightful comments regarding Ender's Game and the work of Orson Scott Card that he posted at the Ender's Game Spotlight blog entry. So I was talking about Ender versus Anakin. That went up Friday morning, and Friday afternoon, I discovered that an audio comment that I had sent to the Stars Hollow podcast, which is my favorite Gilmore Girls podcast. Well, Friday, I discovered that they played my audio comment and actually mentioned BeTheStory.com on the podcast. So Friday afternoon, I wrote something especially for Gilmore Girls fans. But even if you're not a hardcore Gilmore Girls fan, I hope you'll find it entertaining. Saturday, where to get character names. After all my belly aching about how character names really don't matter in the grand scheme of things, well, I just posted some links to where resources that I commonly use to think up character names. This is really no big deal, but it's something that comes up from time to time. Sunday, I got an email from the Sci-Fi Channel, and they told me that the Doctor Who 2005 season, the new Doctor Who with Chris Eccleston and Billy Piper, is coming to the United States on the Sci-Fi Channel March 17th, that's Friday, at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And at that time, there will be 2 hours of Doctor Who. It's the first two episodes. And it looks like following episodes air one per week each Friday at 9 p.m. I actually have been able to see this series. Oh, ain't I lucky? And I can personally recommend it. My whole family loved it. And when I told my daughter that Doctor Who was coming onto our TV, boy, was she excited. I personally can't wait for the DVD to come out. And I kind of feel really disadvantaged because right now in the UK, they're watching the 2006 season of Doctor Who. And, well, we're just so deprived over here in the US. Oh, well. I spent enough time pushing Doctor Who. That's March 17th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on the Sci-Fi Channel. We'll be back in just a moment and talk about story games, the anatomy of a story game on Be the Story. Stay tuned.
From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds.
This is a Spaceship Radio podcast.
Are you in the bag?
No, but every week we'll bring you the best in science fiction radio from the 1950s.
Now here they come, ladies and gentlemen. The Martians.
And they will, every week, right into your iPod. Just visit www.spaceshipradio.com for all the details.
Prepare for maximum acceleration.
That's spaceshipradio.com, where we rocket you into the past.
Holy mackerel.
Welcome back to Be the Story. What is a story game? Well, in short, a story game is a video game in which the story drives the gameplay rather than the story building the gameplay. Rather than the gameplay driving the game, the story drives the game. In general, if you can take the story out of the game without losing the game itself, it's not a story game. But if, in order to take the story out of the game, you have to kind of tease it apart and rewrite big pieces of gameplay, that's a story game. In order to design a story game, basically, you just tell a story the way you normally would, but let the player cause story events. So you're making the story interactive. Usually this would be done by using an external story or an external conflict. Then the things that the character needs to do in order to resolve the external conflict, you turn those into puzzles for the player to solve. So the player now is putting together the pieces for the character that cause the plot to go forward. This is why, very commonly, adventure games are either detective stories or science fiction stories with some sort of unexplained phenomenon or, you know, basically any of the common external stories in genre fiction. You don't see adventure games that have strong character-based stories. Yet, I don't believe this is necessarily a limitation of story games. And in a future podcast, I'd like to look at some variations that might allow us to make more powerful character-based adventure games and story games, rather. Now, what's the difference between an adventure game and a story game? Well, if you ask an adventure gamer whether an adventure game is primarily about the puzzles or about the story, it's 50-50 as to what he'll respond. Depending on the person, some people say adventure games are about the story, but other people say adventure games are primarily about the puzzles, about the gameplay. And so you have this dichotomy between those on the one hand who really like the story or really think that the story drives the game, and those on the other hand who think that the gameplay drives the game and the story is just secondary. Most adventure games are designed to appeal to both of these groups. So there will be very strong puzzles using an external conflict in the storyline, but also a very tightly integrated storyline, such that the story actually drives the gameplay. And if you're not very familiar with adventure games, you can head over to pinheadgames.com. They have a few good, short, free, graphical flash adventure games that you can actually just play online. I believe I was able to play each in about an hour. And these games demonstrate the form, especially try The Goat in the Gray Fedora. This is like a comedy detective story in kind of a twisted film noir style. Now, what are some of the implications of making a story interactive? Well, the story usually takes multiple branches. In fact, if you don't have multiple options for the player to decide, you know, choices that the player can actually make to do this or to do that, the player kind of ends up feeling like he's just going along with the game and he's not as immersed in the storyline. Realistically, however, it's only necessary for the player to believe he's choosing which way the story goes. In reality, he might just be choosing which part of the story to push forward at any given point in time. In other words, the story has multiple story threads. Each of them is independent. I'll get to that in a moment. When you have an interactive story like this with multiple branches, the branches multiply exponentially, like rabbits. As you allow the player to make choices, these choices multiply. They don't add. So you have to manage this great complexity. And usually you can do this by thinking of the story as multiple story threads. Each of these story threads is independent from the other ones. And as events in the story occur that push that particular story thread forward, that particular subplot, push that subplot forward, that subplot can go forward without necessarily requiring other subplots to go forward. However, story threads also can spawn other story threads. They can join with other story threads. They can feed into other story threads, as in any complex story, even in a good novel or a good movie. So story threads are independent but related. Now, when you're plotting out a complex novel, for example, you have to deal with these realities. But keeping this in mind is even more important when you're designing a story game. Now, some stories have different endings, some story games, depending on what the player does. If he does one thing, then something happens to the hero. If he does a different thing, something else happens to the hero. Frankly, I prefer a story that has one good ending rather than a story with several not-so-good endings. I first noticed this when playing the Pandora Directive. It has a whole series of different endings depending on how you play the game. Things will turn out differently. And I found myself wanting the single ending where the hero won, which is traditionally what you want. And the other endings, I didn't play at all. I always went to a walkthrough, a cheat sheet, basically, to tell me what key things to do in the game to make sure that I got the ending that I wanted. And I didn't consider that cheating because I wasn't playing for the gameplay. I was playing for the story. Now, the biggest strength of a story game is also its biggest liability. The player is taking part in the writing process indirectly by making choices in how the story goes. So, some implications of this. Suspension of disbelief. It depends partially on anticipating ahead of time. As the author of the game, you have to anticipate ahead of time what the player is going to think and what the player is going to want to do. And you have to give him the opportunity to do those things, or at least to try them, within the rules of the game, of course. Otherwise, the player will feel like it's not a realistic environment that he's interacting with. Also, the player will tend to do things that beginning writers do. For example, he'll tend to want to make the character behave like he himself, the player himself, would behave in that situation. He'll tend to want the character to take on his own personality rather than letting the character be himself. And the player will also tend to want the character to succeed. As writers, we have to learn to take our characters and put them in really bad situations. Even though we love our characters, we sympathize with them, we need to beat up on our characters and make things as bad for them as they can possibly get, because only then can we experience that great climax, that denouement that sweeps us off our feet. And in the future, I'd like to look at some ways of dealing with these real implications of having an interactive story game. But for now, I just want to start at designing a sample story game. I'm not going to get through the whole process this week, but I'll continue it next week. But for now, we'll just start after this message with a sample story game. Stay tuned.
Information and inspiration for writers, that's what The Writing Show is all about. Whether you write fiction, nonfiction, screenplays, poetry, songs, or just email, we're here to entertain, help, and engage you. Every week or so, we offer a new podcast designed to shed light on some aspect of writing. You'll meet experts like book publicist Karen Villanueva, Chris Beatty, wild and wacky founder of National Novel Writing Month, and 12 freaky horror writers who've read their own works into our microphone just for you. We also post articles and other resources at our website, www.writingshow.com. Join me, Paula B., and my guests each week as we explore the world of words. The Writing Show, where writing is always the story.
Welcome back to Be the Story. Let's start designing a sample story game. I'm thinking of something in a traditional style, something that can be turned into like a hypertext game. In fact, next week I plan to post a JavaScript version, executable version of the game that we can actually play on the web. Just a simple text-based kind of a choose your own adventure thing. If you remember the old choose your own adventure books where you would read like a chapter and then there'd be a little note at the bottom giving you two or more choices and saying, you know, if you want to open door A, go to page 15. If you want to open door B, go to page 32. And of course you knew not to go to page 32 because last time you went to page 32, you died or something like that. Well, I'm talking about doing something similar, but on the web, using hypertext and maybe a little bit more clever than having someone die. So I thought a simple mystery, you know, kind of a detective style story. Our main character is named Martin Hall. And he has a collectible copy, hardcover copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the rare 1990 U.S. hardcover edition, the one with the colorful, you know, 42 puzzle by Douglas Adams on the front. And this particular copy is actually signed by the author, who is no longer alive, so that is a big deal. Anyhow, he had a small dinner party, and the book is now missing. It's not in its display case anymore. What happened? Well, he first discovers that it's missing immediately after they're just... The dinner party is just Martin, his girlfriend Jane, and their two guests, which are actually Jane's friends, who are named Pat and Dory. And after Pat and Dory leave, Martin finally has a chance to sit down and kind of relax, and he notices the book is missing. So what are the different things that he might do? Well, he might look for it. Maybe he's thinking someone was looking at the book and accidentally put it in the bookshelf, so he looks in the bookshelf. He might ask Jane about the missing book. And while he's asking Jane, she might get the sense that he's accusing her or accusing her friends of stealing the book. So that could even be a choice that the player makes, either to accuse her or not to. Of course, he needs her cooperation in order to get in touch with Pat and Dory because, you know, they were really her guests more than his. So at the very least, he needs her cooperation to get their cooperation. So we're going to arrange these into short story threads, not story arcs, but short story threads, that is, chains of events that connect together in kind of a story graph. And I'll get to that in more detail next week. For now, I just wrote out the story, kind of the general idea, as a short story and divided up different sections as kind of story nodes. These will become kind of circles in a graph, which again, I'll show you next week, but imagine that each section of the story is connected to the sections that come before and after it. And imagine you can draw this. In fact, when you're planning out a novel, a very common technique is to take basically summaries of the different sections of the story, write them out on 3x5 index cards, right? And then arrange the index cards in kind of, you know, story threads. So you say, oh, these index cards are connected together. Here's another subplot that has these index cards connected together. And you can see how the subplots interrelate and how they are independent. And that way you can plan out your novel. I'm talking about doing the same thing, but even with a short story, because we're going to make these pieces interactive. We're going to need to be able to switch off between one subthread and another. We're going to need to be able to, in fact, have two alternative storylines that we can choose, one or the other. For now, I just wrote out the story as a short story and labeled sections according to the action, the choice that that particular section corresponds with. And you can read that at bethestory.com. I'm hoping that you'll be able to see how the various sections possibly connect up to each other and which threads all are alternatives to each other. And also, which sections we're going to need to rewrite or which lines will need to be rewritten depending on what came before. So you're going to be able to see how this starts getting pretty complicated pretty fast. But next week, I'll show you how to make it more easier to understand by taking the complexity and dividing it into different concepts, different orthogonal concepts, and then combining them. Now, usually this is something that a software engineer would do, but with HTML and a little bit of JavaScript, if you know any JavaScript, at least for something this simple, you don't need to be an expert software developer in order to understand it. There are also authoring systems out there that will allow you to make story games, especially graphical adventure games, without writing any code. And I guess actually Flash would be one of these, though I myself have never used it to construct, well, anything actually. So maybe someone else out there can comment on how useful that actually is, if you're not a programmer. And speaking of commenting, I have gone to k7.net and created a comment line, a phone number. Yeah, I guess I'm one of the last to do it, eh? Anyhow, if you want to leave an audio comment, you can just phone 206-350-STRY. That's 206-350-7879. If you leave a phone message there, I'll try to fit it into the podcast. You can also leave text comments at bethestory.com for any of the blog entries, or email me at timk@bethestory.com. In any case, thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye now.